Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the August 11th, 2026 Parks and Recreation Committee meeting. Holly, roll call, please.
Candace Rutledge.
Present.
Steve Black.
Present.
Brandon Marks.
Here.
Manoj Pitar.
Present.
Catherine Prussian.
Here.
And Ben Huey.
Here.
We have a quorum.
On to agenda changes. Are there any? Okay, hearing none. We are now at persons to be heard for items off of the agenda. If there is anyone who is present who would like to speak on something that is not on the agenda, come up and you state your first and last name for the record, and you have 3 minutes. Okay, we are not seeing anyone for that. So let's move on to approval of the minutes for July 14th and July 21st meetings.
I move we approve the minutes for the July 21st and following meeting.
Second.
Holly, can I get a roll call vote?
Did you want to have any discussion at all for that?
I think we're all in agreement that we're good to go. No.
All right. On the motion to approve the minutes of July 14th and July 21st, 2026, Ben Huey,
Yes.
Brandon Marks,
Yes.
Manoj
Hi.
Catherine Prussian,
Here. Yes.
Steve Black,
Yes.
and Candace Rutledge.
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0 on item A.
Let's move on to reports. I have none. Any from members?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay, Steve.
I usually don't report on this, but Bear Knob Ballers having their annual summer camp going on right now. Hence, I'm kind of in my semi-casual attire. It's been great. We had 86 kids between third grade through high school that have signed up for it and three different sessions and throughout the day. And it's been so far been going great. Had great turnout. So we brought in a gentleman from down in Washington to come in as a outside coach, showing the kids something a little bit different than what we get here locally. So it looks pretty positive.
That's fantastic. Okay. Yes, KK.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know. I don't know if everybody had a chance to read the newspaper article following our last meeting, but there was a write-up about dog poop in the parks, and I didn't feel like it was really well representative of the conversation we had. And I followed up with both the author and followed up with the softball program manager just to say that the intent wasn't that they are the problem. The conversation was that it's a community problem and there's multiple ways to address that. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else before we move on to city staff?
I'll just say the upper molar looks great. They got the new pads in and they were working hard the other day, and it was needed for the last few years, and those are finally installed. So that's a big upgrade, and we'll make sure to coordinate with the city to make, well, we'll do our best to make sure that they get pulled and before the bad weather sets in. And yeah, we'll coordinate with our fall schedules and stuff. Thanks.
I guess a quick update from Secretary Sat before I get into the other business. We were on the cross trail this last week, doing some deferred maintenance. Stuff falls into those ditches, fills up over the winter. You might notice that there's a lot of flow over the trail and gets icy. And so hopefully this winter it'll be a little better since we've cleared stuff from that drainage. And then we're on Herring Cove, brushed out the trailhead, and did some work to make sure that people are staying on the correct alignment. They have beautiful stone steps on that trail. They're built by Oregon Woods, but people don't want to take steps sometimes. So they walk around, and then that erodes outside the steps, and the steps get loose. So we did some revegetation of side rails to keep traffic on the corridor and keep that trail happy. One last thing. This may be an agenda item in a later meeting, but we are continuing very slowly to work on the design for reconstruction of the Goddard to Readout Trail. That's entirely on city land. It's an old CCC route. Some of the remaining cedar split puncheon is still in place. It's a beautiful trail, like class one scenery. Like, if you have a chance, go down there. Starts in Clutchavoy Bay, just north of Goddard. Because there's private land between Goddard and and Clutchavoy, but from Clutchavoy you can go to the south end of Readout Lake. It's a little hard to find the trailhead, and I want to talk with the city about maybe a realignment from the original to get us onto that route. But Barth Hamburg is contracting for Sika Trail Works to help us on that design. And last, we have a kayak trip this weekend. We still have some seats available. Adventure Sitka is taking us out to the Saganacas. You can get tickets at sikatrailworks.org.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ben. Okay, how about the city staff?
Kent Smith, grounds maintenance. We have some big projects coming up. We got all of this, or we got the scoreboards for Kim Sham. Planning on getting those put up next week, hopefully to get those up and running before Mudball. So I'm going to be doing that. We also have the new signs that are going to go along the seawalk. So after the scoreboards, we'll be going along the seawalk and installing those new signs. So got to just kind of figure out what order we want to put them in. And then, so Upper Molar Field has the new padding, but in the process of that, we've noticed that the padding on the railing around all the dugouts is pretty wore out. And so I'm working with that same company we got the new backstop padding from to get some new padding on that railing and just do some revitalization there. Some of that padding, if you look, has already been picked apart by the kids, and it's old and wore out, so it's up needing to be replaced. And other than that, I can't think of anything. I do want to say some thank yous to Outer Coast and the other volunteers who helped with the Pioneer Park project. That was a lot done, but there's still a lot to do. So whatever they did is noticeable. That gazebo, the main shelter, has been painted, and it's you drive by there and it's noticeable. It looks nicer. And we have some other small projects we're going to do around there, put a bench out and do some brushing. And so once we wrap up some of our bigger projects we're working on now, we'll try to get out to Pioneer Park and do a little bit more work there. And Sitka Trail Works has done a lot on the Cross Trail this past few weeks. And so thank you to them and other volunteers who go out and help out there. That's much needed and much appreciated. And yeah, that's all I have.
Thank you. Hey, Kevin.
Kevin Knox, Parks and Rec Manager. A few things coming up that we're really excited about. On August 22nd, Parks and Rec is partnering with Rotary, Salty Spoke, Sika Bison Club, First Bank to bring back the bike rodeo, something that hasn't been around since, I believe it was 2020 was the last time it happened. So we're pretty excited about doing that at Keet Gushaheen and invite the community to come out for that. Going to be giving away some helmets, doing a safety course, a little bike mechanic stuff. And SPD will be there registering bikes for those that don't have their bicycle registered. This week, we're also very excited.
How's volunteer recruitment?
We could definitely use volunteers for sure. So, anybody that is interested, reach out to either Rotary or Parks and Rec, and we can get you signed up. We're welcoming again a volunteer or a AmeriCorps service member. We didn't have one last year, and we're really excited to welcome Catherine this week. So, look forward to having her in our office working with the community and with our program. So, speaking of programs, after school stuff is starting up. So we're going to have our D&D club at Blatchley again, a high school guitar club, our after school explorers at Hoots. And that's what our AmeriCorps and another staff person do. Very excited about those. Always looking for other opportunities for people to come forward and teach the classes because we're a pretty small staff. We can't do a lot of the actual program work. So, yeah, but hoping we can get some stuff in at Keat too one of these days. So we've been exploring the opportunity of a potential robotics club for fourth and fifth graders, Lego robotics. So, cool. Chlorinator's online and working really well. So that new chlorinator downstairs has been really helpful for Rachel and not having to monitor the chemicals as much as she was having to before and baby that thing along. So maintenance has been super helpful and got that thing in. Few issues that we didn't anticipate, but got the troubleshooting done and the chlorinator's working well. Also the pool's got just wrapped up all its summer swim lessons, the private and group lessons, had a lot of kids go through that. And a lot of very happy parents to have those. Our hot yoga and sound baths are still continuing. And the registrations for those have been very popular. And also in September, we have an event, a new event for Sitka, a new event for us for sure. It's called Gravel and Goggles. It's a run, swim, run. Should be pretty fun. The sprint distance is a 1 mile, a little bit more than a 1 mile run with a 500-yard swim and then another 1 mile run. The Olympic distance is going to be 3, 1, and 3. So big event there for us. It should be fun. Our field scheduling is going really well. Mud ball is all on the calendar, utilizing both Kim Sham and Upper Moeller Field. That's all kind of set in place. And then we have all our final billings are from the spring and summer activities on the fields were all complete. And in particular, we were able to coordinate with Sitka Little League quite well in getting their the actual scheduled times that they utilized. And in the end, they're even after the snow cancellations and everything, their end bill was just a little bit over 1500. So that anticipation or the anxiety around the bill being extremely large with the rate change, actually, when we account for the actual time used, we're probably right around what they normally get billed at. So not a lot of change there. Moeller Field cameras are the upper Moeller Field security cameras are almost complete. We're hoping to have those online before mud ball, just so that we kind of have a good idea of what does and doesn't happen there. And then finally, land use, the commercial recreation land use planning. We've got an update to the land use plan that we'll be bringing forward, but not before that, we're going to meet with operators. To kind of get some feedback on how this last year went. September 3rd is the plan for that. There's no ships in that day and they're still around. I know it's still the middle of their season, but we're hoping that we get a few to get some feedback there. We'll be putting out a community survey again to kind of see how the community feels about how the land use planning worked for them. And then I'm hoping next month too, I'm going to bring a report to this committee about what the numbers would look like for the authorized permits. And then at some point down the line, we'll be able to look at the end of season reconciliation so that we can kind of see what the actual uses were. Yeah, that's all for me.
Thank you, Kevin. Do we have an assembly member online? No. Okay.
Kevin couldn't make it, neither could Tor.
Okay. Okay. Do we have any other reports? Okay. Let's move on. We have no unfinished business, so let's move on to new business. Ben has an update to share on the Sitka Recreation Foundation's work on the master plan.
Yeah, board member with Sitka Rec Foundation. First, thank you to everyone who went to the assembly meeting and said some good words about this planning process. That was super helpful, really made a difference. The assembly has been unsure on how to go about this, but we know this committee has been working on this for so long, and we really need to get this across the finish line so that Public Works and Parks and Rec have a vision for the future. So, really appreciate all the advocacy from you all. That's huge. I think later this week, next week, soon, we're going to have a kickoff meeting with Corvus Designs. We've signed that initial contract and going to start laying out the schedule. Kevin, anything else to add on timing or otherwise?
Not that I can think of. I'm
Cool.
the sounds like the fundraising efforts are still ongoing with for SRF.
Yep.
There's while there's no checks in hand, there's been some commitments
Conversations
that have been made.
and pledges.
So yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Leveraging with private resources for this public plan. So, yeah, that'll be good. I think that's all on the update.
Do any members have any questions for Ben at this time on that?
Public engagement will be one of the first phases, and there'll be a lot more coming down.
Sounds good. Let's move on to item C. Ben will be sharing a presentation from Sitka Trail Works about the Sitka Marine Trails design. And he's asking for feedback from us, the committee members. So, Ben, if you'll go up
Yes.
to the hot seat there.
Ben Huey, Sitka Trailworks. On the screen now is the draft design narrative for a marine trail network in Sitka Sound. A few years ago, at the beginning of the Biden administration, they released a lot of money for sustainability in the region, and we pitched a bunch of different ideas, and this project got some funding for planning. And so it's kind of a back burner thing for us, slowly working when we have time on it. But we pulled together a bunch of paddlers a couple years ago because in the trail planning process that we published in 2023, we did a big survey a year before that, and people were interested in kayaking as a better recreational opportunity. And when we asked about what are barriers that stop you from kayaking more, of course, there's weather, but knowing where to go was one of the top barriers. So people were like, well, I might paddle, I'm not actually sure where I can go or where I could pull off. And we also know that there's a lot of beaches that are kind of overused. The Chai Chees is the exemplar, but there's Strawberry Beach to the south, and a lot of the white sand beaches that you see when you're ripping by on your motorboat are crowded already. So the process that we went through for this was a survey, an inventory of public lands that, from like a legal basis, have public access, were protected, and are currently kind of underused because their anchorages or approaches aren't good for motorboats. Really shallow, rocky approach. And generally, we were looking for cobble beaches as opposed to sand because sand gets in the gear, the lines of a kayak. And so those cobble, like a darker beach, doesn't stand out to the passing motorboat, and they're not as popular. And we found places that were tucked away. When we surveyed, went onshore, you couldn't find fire rings or trash. Like there some obviously some human activity, but much lower than your average popular sandy beach. We did a big inventory with this advisory committee, local paddlers, some outfitter guides, and identified sites. We had a full criteria of what we were looking for. Ideally, there's a water source. Ideally, it's not super berry. and came up with a bunch of different sites that were safe and appropriate locations for an overnight or day use paddling destination. So this design narrative explains that whole methodology, the background, the why behind it. And we came up with three routes. There's two ways that you can make a marine trail. Obviously, there's not a tread the trail that you're walking on. These are land sites that allow you to paddle between. Some marine trails, like the Resurrection Bay Marine Trail in Seward, has a line on the map, and I think it's the National Park Service public, or no, it's State Parks actually. They have a bunch of cabins, and they say kayak from here to there to there. On the other side of the peninsula, on the Kenai, out of Homer, the Kachemak Bay Marine Trail is just destinations. They've got a bunch of dots on the map, and they say, "Here's our marine trail. Go wherever you want." We kind of went in between where we have some vague routes that we can suggest, but ultimately, this is just an inventory of sites primarily. So we're not going to tell you how to paddle because that's very dependent on the weather conditions. But the causeway is an amazing paddling destination. It's so close to town. It's a very underused facility as far as public lands go, and obviously already highly impacted. We're not and has been invested in over the years. So we identified five sites that you could pull off. Potentially, some of them may need some improvement. There is already an overnight site established by State Parks on the causeway. It's a beautiful destination. It's got view over to out to Sitka Sound. And we give a little description, we give a map on this. And then the next one is Anakwasina Loop. So we went out to the public initially with a crest off sound to Olga Loop, and people didn't like encouraging the Hayward crossing on a kayak, and there were concerns about safety. We dug into the safety numbers a little bit more, and there have been zero kayaker deaths on either of the marine trails in Alaska. And we're talking Resurrection Bay out of Seward and like Kachemak, like really exposed waters. Whereas here in Sitka, we have quite a few motorized watercraft deaths. So primarily we see, and the Office of Boating Safety in Alaska sees the it's an educational problem about boating safety, and a marine trail system could be an avenue through which to educate boaters. Don't drink and boat, wear a life jacket. If you do those two things, you can like mitigate most deaths in boating. So we see this as a potential for improving safety for paddlers as an educational opportunity. Ultimately, this would be probably a website where people could go and get this information, and then that would be a way that you'd educate. So there's another route. We've identified a bunch of sites. And then we have a southern route that is the more challenging, more exposed, does go through the Keyhole in the Cape. But would have, if it were to go online, there'd be major qualifiers about this route, and you're assessing your own ability and being aware of conditions and getting a guide if you aren't aware. So that's pretty much the system. I'd love to hear questions from anybody at this point, and or I will, this has been emailed out a few times. We can email out again and read it over. Give me your thoughts. We want to hone this a little bit. At this point, we don't have any construction money or a lot of momentum. It's kind of a plan on the shelf awaiting someone who's really interested to move forward.
It's very exciting. Have you gotten any feedback from the kayak outfitters in town?
Yeah, they've honestly been the most involved. Wild Coast Kayaks, Michael Graney has put a lot of effort into this project. Paul from Adventure Sitka has given advice. Charlie Jordan from Southeast Alaska Adventures. So most of the paddling outfitters have been involved.
Awesome.
We actually see a maintenance of any future, like a tent pad system. We'd have really rustic, just like make a bear hang and a flat place to put up a tent. Like that's what we're proposing right now. But the maintenance, the protocol would be that outfitter guides would split up maintenance. Like once a year, each guide would be responsible for going to a few sites, as because obviously it helps their business if these sites exist. And so we could have some sort of collaborative maintenance program.
Fantastic. Kevin?
In the plan, is there a designation on what lands are owned by who?
Does the our maps? No. Our planning maps do, and I realize we removed the land management layer to make it a better visual, and that table should have it on whose land it is. We have a description of the permitting process per agency, but we didn't identify which site. Thank you. That's great.
I was just curious if there are any that are city.
Quite a few. We actually tried to bias towards city lands because the permitting would be much easier than doing a full National Environmental Policy Act. Any other questions?
Yeah, I get some comments, some questions. Thanks. It was great to be able to read through that. One thing I noticed was it talks, there's a fair amount on safety and goes into boat safety and different things. But I think one of the big hazards we have here is bears for
Yeah.
sleeping out. And there's not a lot in there about bear safety. So that might be something to beef up on.
Yeah.
Adding to that, camping in this country is of concern because of bears. I'd be curious if you guys considered platforms instead of gravel pads. I think that would be a bonus to people that are concerned about sleeping out with bears. I know it's more maintenance than long term,
You
but
mean like high elevated? Interesting. Okay.
platforms with ladders, something like that.
Tree forts.
There's a lot of talk about economics and kind of feeding this for tourism. Maybe less in your plan about how it impacts local people. And
Interesting.
I think this is the first I've seen it. Not I haven't been looking, but I might have missed that you had things going on before, but a lot of these sites are sites that I've been at with family for planning. So I think there will be a local impact, and I think it'll be good to vet that with the public. But if it is a big push for economics, I think also thinking about how to navigate the influence of tourism over public over local use, and just thinking about kind of like we navigate with trails and Goddard and things like that, whether it's like tourism economics, pushing for the economics during the week and leaving it open for the but just some thoughts.
Good feedback.
And one thing that came to mind that would be a possible route is fox farms.
South of Goddard,
Well, a lot of those
Cava.
islands were fox farm areas. It'd be kind of cool historically to see where those were and add that as a loop, kind of cultural.
You mean like the Tava group?
Have a fox farm kayaking loop where you go from one fox farm site to another.
Cool.
They were locations that had structures, right?
Right.
So you probably can land a boat there. And I don't think they're necessarily local destinations at this point in time.
Right. I like that. There's so much expansion possibility. We kept these pretty small. Obviously, we could go to Angoon, we go to Juneau. There's infinite possibility to go to Bellingham, right? It's very expensive to build trails on land here. People didn't used to build trails, they used canoes. This is the traditional way to get around. And this is world-class kayaking. Like, we have amazing kayaking in this place that is not very used. But it's a good feedback that it reads like it's visitor-focused. Our intent and our focus is locals, like as Sitka Trailworks, that's who we serve. And I see this primarily attempting to serve locals and providing local programming and education. And so I want to make sure that the plan reads that way. So thank you for that feedback.
Did I miss like permitting process? I got like federal stuff, but like, is there a going to be a local permit so that you don't have like people, paddling around the point and then, oh, someone's there type thing?
Right. We really haven't, I think we haven't really got into like, will there be a reservation
Right,
system or
like,
not?
yeah.
As far as like installing any sort of improvement to the city lands would have to go through a city process. It would probably go to this committee after it's vetted with public works staff. And then I don't know if it'd need assembly approval, but like we'd have that. But once the system was in place, we'd have to, it could maybe start first come first serve and then go to a reservation if needed. I don't know. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, one other thing I thought of from the NEPA perspective on federal lands, each of those sites will have to be looked at. So when you think about how long the NEPA process is going to occur, it's going to take a site visit.
Yes.
To each of those sites. So
every single one. Culture. And obviously any shoreline site is a cultural resources
potential.
We've vetted all these sites with STA as well.
And there's no mention, or I missed it, but about waste. Solid waste.
Yeah, correct.
Outhouses.
We didn't propose outhouses yet. Yeah, good mention. Yeah.
Any other comments or questions for Ben? Okay, thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Okay, next up, Kevin has an introduction for the disc golf demonstration course. And then we'll have presenters from the disc golf club. Okay, Kevin?
Okay, so just a real brief description of what we're talking about, I guess. The group of people that are now known as the Sitka Disc Golf had been coming to Parks and Rec. We hear from people from time to time, like the interest in having a formal course installed somewhere around the city. There are informal courses around in different places. There's actually one at Lower Muller already. There's some kind of portable baskets that that exist down there, and people move them around for, you know, to make variations of different, you know, tees and holes and stuff like that. We had a number of people come to us asking, you know, what can we do? We had some money left over and an opportunity to purchase four baskets for permanent installation baskets. We also got the sleeves so that they can be taken off if we need to take them off for any reasons, and then also got kind of plans to be able to install them on a demonstration basis or non-permanent basis, and then be able to move them if we did try to put together a more formal course somewhere else or even at Lower Muller too. So given the fact that Lower Muller is part of the conversation of being redeveloped anyway, we didn't, you know, thought it'd be good to do something that's more on a kind of a demonstration model. The course that has been outlined at this point, and I'll let the disc golf folks talk to this a little bit more. If Mike, if you want to come up to kind of talk through the course a little bit. This course, as you can see, with just four baskets, you're utilizing some of the baskets multiple different times. So you just have different tees, so your approach is different. But I'll let you guys kind of talk through it a little bit here. Today, one of my staff and I went out and we took some pictures of sight lines of each of the holes too. So I've got that in here too.
So first, state your first and last name.
Mike Miller.
Trevor Pruitt.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having us. Yeah, so this course would be, like Kevin was saying, just a semi-permanent course, easy to move. It provides an accessible sport for all ages in Sitka for free. And the kind of the overlying operation of a disc golf course. I've played all over the country, in Canada as well. And a lot of times they're in busy parks. And so when you're playing in a park, the safety etiquette is you let pedestrians through. If someone's playing a sport, you don't play the hole. You're pretty much the low man on the totem pole in terms of if there's somebody else there, you wait, or you come back at another time. But this would provide us an opportunity to kind of grow the community of disc golf. Right now, we do have a Facebook group that we work together. We meet Sundays pretty regularly at noon, where we use our portable disc golf baskets to set up courses. But what we've found is the more we've met and the more we've talked to more people in the community, we're generating more and more excitement. We've tried several places over the years. I think I've tried over the last, I've been here for 4 years. I've tried since then to find a place. There's been people before me that have tried to find similar places around Sitka to no avail. And I think being able to at least start this small course would give us the basis of demonstrating a community, feasibility, accessibility, with minimal impact or cost to the city.
And like I was saying, the installation of these baskets could, you know, it's pretty minimal impact. So you can see from the this is a just a suggested installation. The post is buried about 24 inches, 8 to 10 inch hole with concrete surrounding. That sleeve on the bottom is that bottom sleeve that gets installed, and then the basket goes on top of that. And you have a lock there so that it doesn't get stolen, obviously. But I don't know if anybody's seen the ones that are down at Moeller. They're pretty low visual impact for the most part. The baskets that we did purchase, I think we got one green and two white and one red. So, you know, we can decide where those go based on, you know, what kind of visual people want, and try to keep it, you know, low impact, but then also visible to the players.
And the same is true for the tee box as well. The tee boxes can be string, they can be painted, they can just be rocks. So again, low impact, low cost in terms of setting those up as well.
Yeah. As far as the tees go, we as disc golfers, this is my first year doing it, so I have no room to speak in what's professional, what's not. I find as a new body that even just our open-ended, like you see the light pole there, that's where the tee zone is. It's just as simple as that when it comes down to putting those four baskets down, and you can make 18, 22, however many you want. It's just for the fun of it, is what it comes down to, is what I've found. So.
There is opportunity to, you know, make it a little bit more formal with having a full course map at Moeller, and then having you know, tee signs where, you know, it kind of directs players to where the course goes, you know, suggestions on shots and things like that. So pretty low cost again. And there are grant opportunities out there. The Juno Disc Golf Club actually has additional funds, and they're trying to get more courses set up around Southeast because they like their players when they travel and, you know, going to Sitka or other places, they want to play still because it's a very portable sport.
It is. It's also something that they're doing with the middle schoolers for DYP as well already. So it's already being taught in the schools. Again, because it's an outdoor activity that's very accessible. You're walking around, so you do get some exercise, and it's a very community-oriented activity.
To add on, I do believe over at Keith, they had a small program that was happening a year or two ago, too, through Mike McGinnity, who's with us today over the internet, who's done programs where he bought discs for the students and he taught them how to throw them properly and actually have a little bit of fun there. There is a app out there called UDisc where there is an informal in construction whole system over there over the Keep playground that the kids can use and play too. But we used our portable canvas bags to do those ones. So.
So, like I said, I went down today to just take some pictures of the sight lines on the, in the in the, each one of the holes, and then we kind of edited in
the basket there on the close-ups. Not to scale. Did our best on what it might look like. But while we were down there, actually, there was a family of dad and two kids playing. So I didn't even realize that at first, and then I saw the kids out, chucking a couple of frisbees around at the baskets. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's as we put the baskets out, it's one of those things that you put it out there, they will come, and we're finding more and more people just kind of gravitating towards it. So it's kind of cool to see the organic growth as we move towards this.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. My wife used to play a lot before we were married, and my son, my wife and I will go down like SJ and oh, that tree over there.
Yep.
And so I didn't know you had those down there, so I know they'll be using it. What did have one question though? You had some basket up by the parking lot, up by the batting or hitting cage. What about, is there a thing, would you want to put that there with vehicles that could be parked around there? Is that an issue?
So we haven't seen that. Are we talking about the yellow one, the permanent basket?
The permanent basket, yes.
Yeah, so we haven't seen any cars near there when we've been playing. However, if there's cars parked, that is another one of those things where you change it, and we could potentially move it further towards the woods over there and remove it.
Yeah, during Little League season, baseball season, softball season, mud ball, that gets very full in there. That's the only question I would have for something around that could get hit by cars. But it's baseball. They're used to getting hit by balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a concept. It's certainly up to change and redesign. It's just an initial brush at what we think could work.
As far as this looks too, we've been playing varieties of this for the last couple of weeks since we heard that the city plans were going forward. And things that we've noticed as far as the car concern too, especially during these summer and winter times when all the salmonberry bushes and everything like that are very, very vibrant and all over the place, that basket placement can actually be placed a little bit more inside and away from that open lot because it is a little bit of a lift that goes up. And then it's not too much of a crazy difference. But it really is just like you move it 2 feet to the left and you're right there in front of the brush instead of in front of that parking lot. Though, like I said, once you hit the winter time, it does change. All of it opens up and you're back in that same exact problem where there's no foliage and you're back in that street and everything like that. That is just one thing that I have noticed as somebody who's been playing that off and on. As far as another note for another basket that I was having issues with, if you look at the one that's on the right-hand side here, it's actually pretty close to that lake end. There is enough droppage back there that I think even you were the one who pointed it out in the first place, where like it's not necessarily a danger zone. There's no water right after that. There's a little bit of a walk before you hit the lake. If that is also something that we're worried about, we can pull that basket forward even where right now there's two not used soccer goals. I don't know if they get pulled out or used or if they've just been sitting there or whatever, but we put baskets inside of that little thing as a fun little obstacle area. And so that's another thing that I've noticed that we can change and move around with as far as that goes.
Yeah, I love the concept. I love the idea of disc golf. I've played myself in the past and really appreciate you guys' volunteers stepping up to bring forward ideas for the community. I do have a concern about this location. It's the only track we have in town. And there's nothing in here that talks about competition with track. I really appreciate that one of the first things you talked about was interaction with other sports. But I want this group to know that like that's what that field was set up for was a track, and that's a track field, and it's the only thing we have in town. So I appreciate that it's semi-permanent, but and that you guys say that when there's other uses on the field, but I do fear that we grow interest in it and that increases competition between those two because that's used for a track team. It's used for people that don't walk elsewhere with dogs and walk around with leash dogs. And it's used in the morning, at lunch, in the evening by the school. So just want to be aware of that and make sure that we're not committing to another sport on top of a sport that it was designed for. Because I think there's other places we could do it too. So I want to make sure we're not pigeonholing ourselves into this location. There's a lot more area in other parts of town. But I'm guessing we came here because there's less use. But that's keep that in mind.
It's almost like we need a master plan for what these sites can do for us. I'm really appreciative of the efforts here and the momentum. People have been coming to me through Sitka Trail Orcs, being like, "Can you make a disc golf course?" As long as I've been the director, and I've looked around. I played disc golf in Washington quite a bit, and it's actually a soils issue. When you play disc golf, you throw everywhere, and therefore you have to walk everywhere, and so wetlands don't work at all. Because it just tramples. A muskeg turns to mud way too soon. So you actually need some place with pretty stable soils, which we know are in very limited supply in this town. The only other place that I've been recommending, like to think about, is the Granite Creek Valley, because it's alluvial just upstream of the Cross Trail. Have you ever walked up there? It's like all gravel kind of washed over it. And I think that could be a zone. It's a way more advanced course because it's treed, but you can play in the trees. I've definitely played in courses where they like have close corridors, but it's not in town. You got to like drive way out there. It's a way less accessible location. So I agree. We should make sure we're keeping that priority for track. And there's still a lot of hours in the day.
Another open space that we have used too is, I believe, out back of the baseball fields in the Kimshan area, right there at the trailhead of the cross trails, that big open lot space. We've put out our build-a-baskets or canvas bags out there a couple of times, or we've done object golf even with a couple of like just the standing poles or whatever is out there. So we are open to moving around, as but like you said, with the whole soil, the grounds type of a thing. We're just excited to try to make motion in the ocean here and hopefully get something rolling. As far as that looks, though, we're just excited for any other suggestions if we can find other spots too.
Yeah, I will add that this was just meant to be like a demonstration course, get some momentum and then be able to move it. I would love to have a course in the trees. I would prefer it, in fact. It's, if you can build enough of a community and have a place that everyone knows where to go, I think moving it at that point is better overall. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up though.
Well, and if we get a track, a real track sometime, we could have trees down on Muller Field and it could become a park of a different kind. So, yeah.
Great stuff behind it. Appreciate it, what everyone has to say. I kind of ditto everyone's thoughts, and I say we build a few of these things all around town and have like a few of them just, but I think that I understand what Kiki's saying. But yeah, I mean, let's get some ideas going and let's get it going. Keep the momentum going, like you're saying, and get this done. I mean, it seems like pretty easy to do. You got the stuff, and let's do it.
You have Micah on. Did he want to speak?
No, he was just he's at a convention currently, just wants to see
Okay.
how this goes. It's just a hang.
Okay, no problem. No problem, Trevor. Okay.
I think this is awesome. Just like everyone else, my kind of like the you led with the kind of like where does this sit in the hierarchy of things? Is that like something signage or something would formalize? I feel like frisbee-related sports are usually pretty like friendly, but just thinking if we have courses out there, like we don't want to be having little arguments over that.
Yeah, so essentially, at the start of the course, you have a course layout and then course rules, and so that includes etiquette as one of the major points. Having a hey, look, if there's anybody here, if there's any danger of hitting anybody, come back later. That's usually one of the main things in most parks that I've played in around the country is like. You're sharing the park, and you can hurt somebody pretty seriously with these discs. There's lots of hours in the day, and you'll just have to come back later because we are really using other people's space. So, I think that's something that we can certainly emphasize.
as far as interactions go with other disc golfers, even if somebody's there previously and then somebody else shows up, it's designated for people to take up different portions in the hole. Just because hole one is hole one doesn't mean you start there. You can start anywhere and you move around, and it's kind of a way to keep it spaced and keep things moving. Something that I was kind of running into when we were talking about the four baskets set up on the thing, it was a little bit harder to have those space outs because your tees are always so close together. So referring back to that, that was a personal problem that I had with the way that we were setting up those baskets, and I wasn't sure if this is like the only destination that we had in mind. So that is something that if we're moving forward and we want to find a different location short of the lower molar, that is something that to look at too, is how we can space it evenly so that if there are multiple groups, we can each individually have a different space and have the openness for said space.
This might be a little too in the weeds, but I was also just thinking about community engagement. Is there, I don't know how feasible it would be to have like city discs or something that we like leave there for maybe people that don't have gear, disc golf gear that want to just try it out. It would be hard to imagine they don't walk away, but sometimes I find myself being optimistic.
So what we found is, especially through the Facebook page, we've been posting, tee times for people to come out. And if they want to come out and they don't have discs, we loan them discs. We want to encourage everyone to come out. So using, Facebook and that page to encourage that or be able to leave them somewhere and have them be picked up. Certainly is something we will do, and we do already. But in addition to that, I would also say, it gives a slight opportunity for a couple of our businesses around here to start carrying discs. It's an easy entry point to grab one disc, but I find that people who like it and start doing it somehow end up with like 50 discs. So it does have a small business opportunity as well for a number of our businesses in the area.
I'm under 6 months, and since the last time we've played, I have six more discs. So I
I
know.
would, I will, on the record, expect no less of you.
We have some discs at Parks and Rec too, and we do a little bit of loaning of equipment sometimes. So, that's something that we could explore even more if it became a thing. And we're pretty proximate to this course too, so easy to grab. And if we're open or we got staff there, grab some discs and go and play and bring them back.
Would any of this equipment need to be stored for the winter? It can stay out year round.
No, they stay out year round. They're powder coated and painted and designed to stay out year round. Even the ones that aren't painted are just steel. So you find them all seasons and all terrain.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from the committee?
Is there an ask from today?
I
I
think
think
it.
it's just informative.
Yeah, I think just having the discussion, having the opportunity for the public to comment and put it out there. I mean, Kent and I have been listening. We've got our listening ears on, right? Connor's back there too. So yeah.
So, Kevin, you don't anticipate, it sounds like you have some resources that might be put towards this. This isn't something you're going to have to ask the city for, or we're going to have to make any recommendations for.
Not anything that we would have to formally go forward for. It's, just committing our own resources. And Parks and Rec, we've already got the four baskets are have already been procured, so we've got that. And it's just about talking about where do we want to put them, and then getting them out there. And hopefully with any additional resources that need to be purchased, we to be able to find additional monies out there, maybe from outside sources, maybe. Think Juno helped Wrangell put their course together too. So,
also, I think
yeah.
important. They had a
Yeah.
hand in it or something. I had a gentleman that actually just showed up this last Sunday that I met for the first time. It was like, yeah, I just helped build that course out in Cordova and whatnot. So it's definitely something that's growing around here.
Yep.
It's nice.
So it sounds like the logical next step is you'll bring back to like the next meeting the layouts maybe of a couple different locations. so we can kind of consider those and then hopefully decide, you know, like at least from our perspective, what would be a good, you know, priority of locations. And then, you know, and then, or maybe we're just like, yeah, let's do this. And this is a good idea if it's in, you know, out the road or whatever. It seems logical, right? I mean, as opposed to just going forward with this right off the bat.
I think this, the proposal is to use this as a demonstration course.
Oh,
now,
I see.
And then in the future, exploring. And I think, you know, Ben's right. The master plan is, you know, that process is going to be a big part of all of this too, whether or not disc golf, where it falls in a prioritization and, you know, what other locations might be mm-hmm. suggested.
Yeah, this would be a demonstration course because this is probably the site of that other field that is going to be built. So that was kind of the intention of just to show the feasibility of it.
Are you hoping for traveling competitions? Like what has evolved with Mudball?
We certainly would like to engage with some of the other Southeast Alaska community. I don't know if we could get to traveling competitions with this demonstration course, but what I would like to see is larger engagement through the Facebook community, some organization with the school programs, and to be able to grow the overall organization in terms of being able to demonstrate the community's involvement and excitement for the sport.
Kevin, I'm confused. This is a proposal, but it sounds like you don't need any information from this group. So you're taking it on as a department to take on a demonstration course, permanent pins, maintenance, etc.
Oh, the intent is not that they're permanent pins. They're installed, but they can be removed if necessary. But yeah, I mean,
okay.
We wanted to get kind of the committee's take on it, what they thought about the area being used for this. Also kind of give some public notice that, you know, there's this discussion going on, so that there was any real, you know, serious concern from the public about it being utilized for something like this. And yeah, we wanted to hear that feedback.
I don't think we're being asked for a motion.
No, certainly.
I got to be honest, I'm not comfortable saying that it's got permanent pins on the map here. And we haven't said anything to the public that says we're going to make this a demonstration course. I feel like there needs to be some level of that for us to be. I'm perfectly fine with you doing it as a department and going forward with that. But if it is something that we are approving as a group, we need to have a motion and an approval to adopt what's in this plan.
I think this is just the very beginning.
No, it's not.
Right?
They want to proceed with this.
They want to install.
This is a course that they're going to install and proceed with. This isn't just a pitch. They're actually going to install the concrete footers and install the course. So this is like, this isn't just a start. Yeah, then they can go do other things. But this is, it's, you know, anyway, so it's okay. More than just, they're not just demonstrating to us today. This is a demonstration course that they're going to build.
Kevin?
Yeah.
I thought this was initial, you know, public notice. It's a conversation and it's not set in stone. Is that not correct?
I guess the way I'm thinking about this, when I think about our agency, Sigatrix, I have a board that sets policies and we have a mission. And as staff, I implement within that mission. We are a policy setting board. And the mission of Public Works and the Parks and Rec Department is to support Parks and Rec in the community. If Kent wants to move a fence post around in a park, we don't want to have to set a policy every time for that. Obviously, that's why we have our master planning process to think big picture about these parks. But I think as a policy setting board, we can't get in the weeds on every single little infrastructure change. And ultimately, it is not altering the intent of this park. It is still a track. It's still a football field, soccer field. And having a few concrete posts doesn't, in those locations, won't impact the current use. So to me, given the context of this, thanks, Mike, like it doesn't, like we're still good. They're giving us a heads up. They're being proactive, keeping us in the loop, but there wasn't like a, we're going to plow, bulldoze the track and turn this into a field that I would want to have some input on, but this feels reversible still.
All due respect, the only reason I'm on this board right now is because at some point someone had the great idea of putting painting soccer field lines on our baseball field without any notice, without any opportunity to be heard. If we had due process, we could have avoided a lot of anxiety, a lot of conflict in our community. So I totally disagree. That wasn't digging up the baseball field. But when we arrived one day, we saw yellow lines painted clear across our field. I mean, it was shocking. People were crying. I mean, it was insane. So no, I completely disagree. And I don't know that this is going to elicit that kind of response, but it's just due process, you know, yeah. Let's just afford the community. So I love what you're doing. I just sympathize with what Kiki's saying and just, you know, let's bring it back in a month.
And like I said, too, we are totally open for more discussion and everything like that. What happened in the first place is we had a gentleman who is a part of our group who came forward and said that he had pushed this to the city and that this was like his idea or whatever. So even as us as a group, we're all like, oh, okay, this is exciting. We were uncertain as to what was going sure. on. So we didn't even know that this was like a definite set in stone. Like, oh, this is, you know, yeah. we're putting it all yeah. in. This is like, we didn't even expect this to be yeah. permanent. We were expecting this to be semi-permanent too. So like I said, totally open for that discussion. I
appreciate it. Just we're running out of time, but just let me finish this one thought. I appreciate you for bringing this up, Kevin. I'm not saying you're trying to railroad this or anything. I'm just saying I would prefer that this come back. If we can move to put this on the agenda for next month with proper notice, that would be my motion so that we can consider alternatives to just this one demonstration idea. Then we can consider the impacts. Maybe nobody cares. And I honestly don't feel super strongly in opposition to this. I think it's a good idea. And I, you know, it's right on the baseball field, whatever. So anyway, that's my two cents. I don't know if we can entertain this quick motion before we sign off.
I don't know that we need to make a motion. I think we can recommend you do some, maybe put an article in the paper about what you're intending to do. We put it on the next meeting, and then at least it's been put out to the public.
Right,
if people
right.
want to contact us, and then I'd be fine making a motion in approving something. I just feel like
there's no need to make a motion. I'll talk to Holly and I can yeah. add it to the agenda for awesome. Next month. Trevor, you are free to go back to the audience. Thank you so much. Okay, so we're having some conflicting information. You know, Trevor was saying it's semi-permanent, and Kevin's wanting to green light it because it's a healthy outdoor activity with minimal cost. So Holly and I will be in talks, and we'll add it to the next agenda and discuss it more. And maybe we can have a public comment period as well and get some people in here in the evening sometime, right? Okay, so let's move on.
Can I just for
Kevin, okay.
for clarification, what the committee is asking for, if the committee is asking for staff to bring something back beyond what you've already seen? Or, I mean, because I hear from Brandon, you're saying that you'd like to see alternative locations. I don't know where those come from. Right. And I don't know who puts the work into designing those.
Right. I understand that. And if that's too much work, then that won't happen. But that would be my preference. This is a great idea. Maybe there's no opposition. Maybe it's just due process is all we need. But and if it's a lot of work and you can't fit it in, don't do it. I'm just, that would be ideal. You know, in an ideal world, we would have alternatives, but
we could give notice to the community and open it up for public comment. And I will definitely attend, and any members of the community in general can come to that and we can discuss.
Are you suggesting a separate meeting yeah. from your next?
That's possibly, the point of this meeting. But
that's what this meeting.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
this was publicly noticed.
Yeah,
And I actually sent it to the track coach.
You sent it to the okay.
I did.
Well,
I
that
didn't
was
hear
my
back
next.
From him, but I did send the documents to the track coach. So, I mean, beyond other interests, I didn't really do a lot of proactive. There wasn't an article in the paper or anything else like that. I mean, that's doable, but I'm just trying to be clear. I'm just trying to get a clear direction from you. What the committee would like to see if this comes back. What do you want to see before the next meeting?
I'd like to see that group, unless you're taking this as your job, but I'd like to see that entity put something out to the public that just says what they're looking at doing, whether it's flyers or an article in the paper or something. And I'd like to see it on our next meeting because I just got this on Thursday or Friday. So I've had no time to ask people about that. And that's part of my role is to go be a public liaison. So I feel like if I can go out and talk to people and it's on the next meeting agenda, people have a chance to come comment or give any of us comments on their thoughts. I feel like I've, as Brendan says, due process. I feel like I've done my job as a member to say, yeah, go forward, let's do it. Because I feel like it's a task that we're committing the city to doing, installing these things. And then also it's changing the condition on the ground. It's minor. We all agree it's minor. I don't think anybody, I'm not hearing any opposition to this. I just think it's due process for our role.
Yeah, like it'd be helpful to say discussion presentation of disc golf demonstration course at Lower Molar on or on the track, so that people just, oh, instead of just a golf demonstration course, it just doesn't really trigger for people necessarily in terms of maybe it being a concern. Anyway, are we wrapped up?
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay, now we are at persons to be heard for items on and off the agenda. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to come forward for 3 minutes and state your first and last name.
Hi, Kelly Villegas, dog owner. I've been here a few times. Hello again. Last meeting, it was mentioned by Mr. Knox that the Kim Sham field that is fully enclosed, that is legal for off-leash usage for dogs, would be locked. And I had questions about that last meeting. They were never clarified, and it wasn't mentioned today. So I'm wondering, I know it's not really questions and answers, but I'm hoping there can be some clarification for dog users who use those spaces, those shared spaces for off-leash dog, canine, and human recreation, that can be clarified as to whether it's going to be open, closed, where they're recommending that we go, because there's not really other areas that are accessible. I'm about to have abdominal surgery and I'm not going to be able to walk very far, and I need my dog to be in an enclosed space. So I'm particularly concerned about not being able to use this space while I am particularly disabled. So if the committee or anybody could just give me some clarification on if and when it's going to be locked, what suitable alternatives are. I see people using the lower field, which certainly there's plenty of signs that say we're not allowed to use it, but I see people using it. Is that going to be enforced? I just have some concerns as a dog user using those shared spaces. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Holly, is it appropriate for Kevin to make a response after? Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to come up for an item on or off the agenda? Okay, I am not seeing any, so we are now adjourned. The next regular meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, September 8th at noon. Since there's no further business, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good job.
Yeah.